today, as we talk about your ears, to build on last week's talk on the eyes, not only is your ear amazing, as we'll look at, how it works, how it speaks to your greater purpose, and then how do we actually use our ears, but did you know your brain's ability to process your ear is very, very precise? When you speak, there is a delay of 0.0005 to when it leaves your mouth and comes into your ear. And your brain knows that delay, and that's how it learns how to speak and communicate. If you mess with that delay, it can get a little more difficult. So we're going to mess with that delay today. Can you give a warm welcome to my friend Peter? Peter, come on down. Good to have you with us today. If you want to grab the microphone, we're going to put some headphones on Peter. And we're going to initially leave it as the normal delay that you and I might hear. And we're just going to have you pick up the Wall Street Journal there, pick any particular paragraph, give me two or three sentences. Here's he hearing himself through the headphones at regular delay.
Why the wood-burning fireplace is disappearing. A sought-after feature in high-end homes has long been a primitive void in the heart of the great room, the wood-burning fireplace.
Excellent. All right, now what we're going to do is I want you to read the same paragraph, but in the back, we're going to mess with the delay. So we're going to move, your brain is fine-tuned to that 0.005. We're not going to tell you what it is, but it's not going to be that. So go ahead, read me the same paragraph again.
Why the wood-burning fireplace is disappearing.
No stuttering, just read straight through.
A sought-after feature in the high-end. And high-end homes has long been a primitive void.
All right, good job. All right. Now we'll make it easier now. Now they're going to turn the delay off, and I want you to just, you got young kids, we're going to pick a song that has a real nice beat you can keep with. Just give me a couple lines from Row, Row, Row Your Boat, and while you're going at some point, you won't know when, we won't know when, they're going to turn on the delay. So go ahead, give me a little Row, Row Your Boat, and I'll try and, although me giving you the time, they're going to laugh at me because I have no time. So I'll do a little Row, Row Your Boat time here. Ready? Okay.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a drudgery.
All right, awesome job. Can we give Peter a hand here this morning? Oh, that's hard to do, isn't it? That is really hard to do. We practiced it this week, and I went, holy cow, we're going to torture my friend. That sounds perfect. So, not only is the ear amazing, but how it processes sound, how you think about sound, it all comes together. Imagine if I told you that you could hire, like a building like this, and get a professional sound system. The best possible speakers, the best possible microphone, and we're going to add an air balancer. If you ever know anything about air balancing, they use it for companies that have industries that make chips. You got to keep the air balanced. I got a buddy of mine in New York as an air balancer, at least he was. Now we're going to add a gyroscope. All the complexities of a gyroscope that keeps you centered, maybe for NASA. Oh, look at that. Now imagine all the technology of a professional sound system, speaker system, gyroscope, air balancer. Now I'm going to put all that technology into something half the size of a golf ball, and that's what you have sitting on each side inside of your ears. That's the kind of technology. And yet, you could hire and install the best, most professional sound system in the world. And you know what? It only works if you turn it on. You're like, well, that explains the problem in my marriage right there. I know he's got ears. I know she's got ears. But are those things on? Remember that? Hasn't every teenager from all of history said, my parents aren't listening to me? They have ears, but they don't seem to turn it on. We're going to look in today about three aspects of listening. What are we listening with? What are we listening to? And how can we listen in a little bit better? And in this series, we've asked this question. For those seeking evidence for God in your life, as Coldplay says, I'm seeking the signs around me. What if the evidence you're looking for out there is actually in here? What if just examining your own body, your own creation, your own design could show you evidence that maybe there is a God, and how you're designed, like anything you could reverse engineer, you learn about the purpose of something as you examine what was made. That's what we're going to look at today. We'll start with, what are you listening with? What are these things inside your ears and on the side of your head? What are they? Well, you have the smallest, most complex sound system in the world that also regulates balance, sound, and pressure just inside your skull. It's just profound. Now, if you've ever traveled much, and maybe you've gone to some old Roman ruins, and I've seen several in Ephesus, places in Turkey, maybe been to Pompeii, and you've seen these incredible amphitheaters. As you walk up to the amphitheater, you're struck by the acoustics. If you've ever been to one, I went to one in Ephesus, made in the first century. 30,000 people can be seated in the one I sat in. And I went down to the stage. No microphones, no wires, just pure engineering acoustics. And I could talk regular voice from the main stage, and every single seat could hear me with no sound system. Jaw-dropped at the engineering and genius of the Romans who created, and the Greeks before them, an amphitheater to understand how sound works. And as much as I was awestruck by that, I then thought to myself, that's pretty much the exact same thing hanging off my head. The angles, the curvatures, designed to bring in sounds and funnel them into a way that you can hear them. Just as we begin our journey into the ear, you have this incredible amphitheater designed to hear and amplify sounds around you. However, as you make your way into the ear, have you ever thought, like, if you took out a knife and poked yourself twice, that's not good. If you haven't thought about that, boy, that's some good notes to take right there. Well, that's not good. Thank you, Chad. It's good advice. But if you had a hole in your body, what happens to the hole in your body? There's infection, there's disease, there's a big chance of getting something serious. Yeah, you have two holes in your head, right? They have to be protected because of the access they have to your inner body, and therefore you have a HIPAA-level hospital industrial air cleaner. We think of it as that annoying earwax. But you have this incredible way in which all those open holes in your body is designed to clean, to catch dust and bacteria, to keep everything clean as it's making its way into your ear. That is part of the system. It's part of design that you can have an open portals into your head and into your inner life and still have them clean themselves. Well, as the sound makes its way through the canal, past all the earwax to catch all the dust and particles, the next thing you come to is it's a gear shift. It's several of the smallest bones in the human body, and they are the ones that make up your inner ear. It's the amplification hub of your body. And if you think about it, it's a lot like if you've ever driven a 10-speed or 12-speed. You've got different size gears, and a small gear can gear up to a bigger gear. So a small circle here would double up or triple up the energy you're using. Well, the series of bones that exist in your inner ear do the same thing. As that sound comes in as a whisper into your eardrum, it magnifies itself up one cog to another, 3x. Then from one cog to another cog, 5x. 5x, double quadruples again, up to 20x. These small little bones in your body are designed like a giant gear shift mechanism to gear up the amplification. It's multiplying 20x those vibrations. It's the equivalent of 1,000,000-to-1 range. And not only that, it's got an auto suppression, auto gain control if you're into audio. So whether it's a whisper coming in that you can barely hear, or a jet engine right before you, it knows how to auto gain that in such a way that you can hear it when you're leaning in, but also suppress it before it blows out your brains. All of that in these little bitty bones. Now, if that wasn't hard enough, or complicated enough, we all know that you go on an airplane, you got to blow your nose, trying to regulate the pressure. It also regulates the pressure between the outside of your body and the inside of your body. Whether you're scuba diving or whether you're on an airplane, you recognize something in your ear is doing more than just hearing. It's regulating pressure. And it's also handling your balance. And you don't recognize it until you don't have it. And then you immediately realize how important your balance is. There is a gyroscope inside of your ear helping your body know when I'm moving forward, backwards, left, right, tilt, am I in motion? These three little curly cues here are your X, Y, and Z axis, and they are helping you know how you're oriented toward time and space. And sometimes they get messed up, right? The crystals aren't in the right spot, as they say. And so what do? The doctor puts you aside and tries to roll over the crystals to get everything back in the right place because you need to know how to function. If you've ever had it go wrong, you realize, I didn't realize how important the balance aspect of my ears really are. So let's take a journey through the ear for a moment. So we'll start with an x-ray. What does the ear look like? All the different bone structures, all the different pieces, parts that are involved in it. And we're going to start here on the outside. And we'll move from x-ray mode to seeing the actual pieces, parts of the flesh. We come in through this amphitheater. We make our way in, and we've now got this cleaning system with the earwax and other things to keep everything clear as it makes their way into the body. It's funneled its way to the eardrum. And here, as we come to the eardrum, we have these vibrations hitting. Regulated the pressure between what's on the inside of the eardrum and the outside, but then it's got to be magnified so that your brain can hear it and process it. So we have these bones we just talked about, and these bones here are these very small bones in the body that make up this amplification system just here to the left. Oops, a little too tight. So this is where we're having that 20x amplification. Then you see right here where the hammer and the stirrup come up against the cochlea section here. It looks like a snail, that big cochlea. That is actually where you're going to have the ability of those sound systems are going to be like someone playing notes on a piano. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. And then over here, you see this giant gyroscope that's keeping track of exactly where you are in time and space. Then somehow inside this little snail-looking device, all that is processed, those little waves are processed into sound, and then they're moved onto the auditory nerve. And that nerve will then, just like we saw last week, somebody has spelunked their way through your skull so that nerve can perfectly make its way to the mainframe that is your computer. And that's where it's processed, where you're able to make sense of it and understand it at the delay of 0.005, or just understanding that's a bird, that's a plane, etc. Just a little picture of what goes on inside your head. Now, this is why all through time, really, there have been writers and poets describing the beauty and wonder of the human ear. The Hebrew Scriptures, some call it the Old Testament, writes about this. It says, "He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." What is the plausible chance that just one of these little devices or technologies I talked about could, unguided and unshaped, engineer itself, let alone all of them combined? And if we double-click here on that second verse, what does it mean to be a hearing ear? Well, this is where Greek thought and Hebrew thought are a little bit different. Greek thought, I can hear information but not act on it. But Hebrew thought was very different from that. Hebrew thought is, if I hear something true, and if I really hear it, I act on it. It motivates me to do something. So to hear is to act. You're like, I need some Hebrew kids is what I need, because I got some Greek kids is what my problem is, and I'm married to a Greek person. If I understand your needs, I'm going to act on it. Hearing is action, which means the ear was created not just with purpose to hear auditory noise, but also to hear wisdom. To incorporate wisdom into your life, truth into your life, to put things into motion. A hearing ear. The second thing it said is that the ear was planted. Again, this is written to an agricultural community, but think about that. I grew up in Illinois. We have a lot of ears of corn. And to have an ear of corn, the farmer does a lot of work, right? He toils. He removes the rocks. He digs all the trenches. He does all that work. He's weeding it. He's watering it. He's fertilizing it. All the work done by the farmer results in me having an ear of corn. You have two ears that you use all the time. And yet, as you think about those ears, when's the last time you thanked whoever gave them to you or thought about the process, the engineering, the plans, the blueprints needed to form what you have that you use every day? Pretty amazing. We had a team just got back from Belize, and on our Belize trip for the last couple years, Mike Collette, maybe you know Mike, he's a greeter around here and been involved in our church for many years. He and his wife went a couple years ago, and all day long what they do is clean out people's ears. Honestly, it's kind of gross. But man, if you don't have access to a doctor and you're sleeping on the ground all the time, pebbles and dirt, bugs, all kinds of stuff get in there, and you haven't been able to hear for weeks or months, sometimes longer. And Mike said this amazing, humble service that he's done in Belize many, many years of just helping people be able to hear again and just see the joy on people's faces when what they had lost is restored. He's even now working with some companies to help those that even when we clean out their ears, they can't hear. Can we get some hearing aids to help people who don't have access to that technology? Speaking of that, if you have a hearing aid, one of the technologies we have as a church, we started a couple years ago, you can download this QR code, or there's actual notes on how to do this out in the atrium as well. But you can actually broadcast me talking right now directly to your Bluetooth earphones. My wife's been trying to do this for years, and finally, she can't tune her out. You got to hear her directly. How do we make sure that our spouses are hearing us? Well, this is the same thing is true here. If you have hearing aids, you can actually tie in, log into our website or our internet connection, and you can click directly on that app, Listen Everywhere, and it will broadcast it directly to your hearing aids if that can help you as well. So listen with. We're listening with these just incredible technology. However, what are we listening to? What are we listening to? There's this symphony of complexity that allows human beings and the animal kingdom to listen. And if we move beyond the human ears for a second, what do you think is the animal that has the greatest hearing in the world? What comes to mind? What might it be? What animal would you think it would be? Cats, that's a pretty good one, right? A moth. Who said a moth? It came up on the screen, didn't it? I'll talk to those people backstage. This is the animal with the greatest hearing in all of the human and animal kingdom, the greater wax moth. Now think about how crazy that is. That means the size of the golf ball just shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. This little great wax moth has the technology for the greatest hearing in the world inside that little head. That might be why the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible chronologically, says these words. Now ask the beasts, they will teach you. Ask the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Observing nature can teach us about God. Who among them does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Now if we move from the top one, the greater wax moth, to the next two or three, it would include a bat, a dolphin, and an elephant, strangely. And now we get to even further technology, right? Because now we have not only hearing, but we have echolocation, a totally different way of hearing and sensing and sending out sound waves to return back. As we talked about a year ago in our series on animals, we talked about the dolphin and the amazing technology they have. But one of the animals in the animal kingdom that can hear the best, if you count low rumbles, they can't hear high pitches at all, is actually the elephant. But the elephant uses something you and I know as bone conduction technology. So if you don't like earphones in your ears, you probably get the bone conduction ones that produce the sound directly into your bones. You would think the elephants hear well because of the big ears, but not really. Those are used to flap and cool them more than anything. The main way they hear the low rumble sound that makes them so good at hearing is they hear through their feet. Through bone conduction, they can feel the rumbles in the ground, and it makes their way up, and they're able to process that. So much so that an elephant can hear and communicate to another elephant 6 to 8 miles away. This explains Dumbo an awful lot, what I saw in the Dumbo movie, right? The way they could communicate and how they would do things. Amazing. There's a physicist named Hugh Ross who wrote a book on the book of Job. And the book is called Hidden Treasures in the Book of Job, and it really speaks about how the oldest book in the Bible answers today's scientific questions. That God reveals certain scientific principles to Job that this physicist says, we now know that science has caught up to what Job revealed way back in like 2000 BC. And that is a secular scientist drove him to take the Bible seriously. There's a prodigy to the guy who invented quantum mechanics, and he got this quote I love. The first gulp from the glass of natural sciences will make you an atheist. But at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting. See what he's saying? You drink a little bit, you're like, oh, I guess it could just have happened on its own. Keep drinking. Because no matter how much you double-click on any part of the body, any aspect, you just keep finding deeper and deeper symphony of complexity. Even Ronald Reagan, when he was talking about his spiritual journey, he said the ear was a big part of the ear and the eye came to speak to his understanding that there was a God. In his book, God and Ronald Reagan, he says, "No eye came to rest on the delicate convolutions of the ear, those intricate, perfect ears. The thought passed through my mind, no, those ears were not created by chance, coming together by atoms of nature. They could have been created only by immense design. I did not then know that the very moment the finger of God was first laid upon my forehead." Examining the ear began his spiritual journey. When we talk about the inside of the ear, that cochlea I mentioned earlier. So think of your cochlea this way. Imagine what it takes to hear our synthesizer on stage. It takes three things. You need a keyboard player, you need the keyboard, and then you need the computer chip that translates those movements into something electronic that goes back to our sound system. Well, you have that in your ear, three parts. So the keyboard player are the states and the fluid dynamics. And that is, as it's coming into the eardrum, it is actually pushing those little pressures up and through that 20X system, and that's pushing into the cochlea. Those are the keyboard player playing the sounds. However, inside the cochlea is the keyboard itself. I don't know if you remember in the 1990s, there was a big toy store called F.E.O. Schwartz. And at F.E.O. Schwartz, you always went there for one main reason. They had a giant keyboard that they laid out. And I mean giant. Here's one picture I found of one. And it was a giant, very thin, rolled-out keyboard. And you could go and ding, 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 ding. If you don't remember it, the movie Big with Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks plays chopsticks with his boss. Dun, 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 dun. Imagine this long roll a keyboard that you might see at F.E.O. Schwartz, and now we're going to roll that keyboard up. Roll it and roll it and roll it and roll it and roll it. So we have a whole keyboard rolled up. Now we're going to shrink that down smaller than the size of a snail, and that's what your cochlea is. It is a rolled up keyboard. So when the anvil is playing the notes, the keyboard player, the keyboard is then receiving the notes. However, still can't get to the brain. So now we need a computer chip. We need something that can transform the mechanical sound into electronic sound to send it to your brain. Now imagine we're in a world of computer chips, electronics, pieces, parts that might be on a circuit board. Now imagine you need to design a circuitry that can translate mechanical energy into electrical energy, and you can only use hairs to do it. Hairs? Yes. The signal converter, hair cells are the electric synthesizing chips that are taking the notes from that keyboard and sending them through the optic nerve to your brain. What are the chances that, given infinite time, you could make a hair into a synthesizer? Our best scientists still can't come up with speakers and microphones that are as intense and as professional and as expert as what we have in our body. There's a doctor, his name's Dr. Clark, and he was one of the guys who invented the cochlea implant. Fascinating guy, he's actually from Australia. He grew up as a young boy and his dad was a pharmacist. And his dad was deaf, and he saw his dad struggle being deaf. He'd try and hear people and then they'd have to yell louder and then he wouldn't hear and then they'd get angry and he'd get angry. It was just an awkward thing. And even as an 8-year-old boy, he said to his mom, "I want to grow up to fix ears like my dad. I don't want people to struggle like that." Well, he was a man of faith who believed in Jesus and God and prayed often. And back in the 1950s, he did something most doctors didn't. He went to medical school, and he studied speech pathology, and he studied technology. Typically, he had to pick one or the other. One of the few guys that did all three. As he did that, he would just pray. A lot of people would head home after class. He was, after medicine school, would head into the laboratory and be playing with circuitry and playing with buttons and wires and all kinds of ways, trying to think, how does sound work? How does that snail process? Is there any way we could create a multi-band, multi-layer ability to fix the human ear and put something inside the body that it has naturally? Well, they said it couldn't be done. He got mocked for many, many years. And eventually he figured it out. And here's how he figured it out. He was on family vacation. I think they were in Australia. And while everybody else was enjoying the sun, this guy's obsessed with helping people, he pulls out a shell, right? Listen to the ocean. And he pulls out a blade of grass. And he's poking the shell with a blade of grass. And he starts thinking, you know what? The different sounds and different channels come from different places on the shell. That's how I'm going to do it. So he goes back and he designs a cochlear implant. And he actually says, when he's out there on the beach, he says, "Thank you, God. I've been praying." Every day he prayed before he looked into this technology. "God, I need your help. Am I on the right path? God, help me know what to do. Help me get a breakthrough." He gets this breakthrough. The first chance he gets to do this cochlear implant, guy was like 45, hadn't been able to hear for years because of an accident. He puts it in, and sure enough, as he comes out of the surgery, they say, "Can you hear?" He hears, I think it's his wife for the first time, his kids for the first time, bursts into tears, something he never thought he had again. Dr. Clark also bursts into tears. This is something he'd been working on his whole life, his passion point to help people. He said it reminded him of a passage in the Bible where Jesus comes to a dumb and deaf man, and he says, "Open," to his ears, and his ears open, he can hear again. He said, "The same thing I saw in the scriptures of Jesus opening people's ears, I got to experience firsthand when I did that cochlea." He talks about doing it again with a little girl who never heard before, and he puts in these implants, and his technology from the 50s and 60s now has gone across the whole world. A person who is so obsessed with the ear and the God who made the ear wanted to create a facsimile that would help people, still knowing it was far cry from what had originally been created. Isn't that amazing? So we listen to this symphony of complexity, but then it comes practical, like, what does it mean to listen in? And this is where the Bible gives lots of wisdom about listening. And one of the things about listening is you got to listen in to the ways you're not listening well. Most of us don't even know we're bad listeners. But I've joked before, no one's ever come into my office, ever, ever, ever in 30 years in pastoral ministry, in marriage, and said, "My husband just listens too well. My parents, they're just well too good at listeners. They just empathize with me. They sympathize with me. They just understand me too well. Can we stop this thing?" No. In general, we're all bad listeners. We shortcut. We assume we know what they mean. We build our counter argument. We want to win, right? We all do that. Jesus shows up, and he's got this phrase he says over and over again. It's really weird. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What in the world does that mean? It was an idiom to say, just because you have ears doesn't mean they're turned on. Doesn't mean they're turned on toward God. Doesn't mean they're turned on toward the person talking to you. You're distracted. You're building your counter-argument. You want to win. You want to persuade rather than try and understand where they're coming from first. So one of the practical advice Jesus says is, I don't know how many times, dozens and dozens and dozens, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now his brother James is writing later, and he goes into some more detail on this. He says, "My beloved brethren, let every person be swift to hear." When you're in a conversation, are you swift to say, "I want to really understand what you're saying before I talk"? "Be swift to hear, be slow to speak, and then be slow to get angry." Well, look at that. That's the opposite of what I do. I'm slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to get angry. She's saying that's not listening in. Your ears were not designed for that. In fact, it's not going to serve you well. The wrath of man getting angry all the time, it's not going to produce the righteousness of God. It's not going to produce the kind of life you want, the kind of marriage you want, the kind of lifestyle you want. Instead, what if it looked like in this conversation, I realize I'm distracted. Honey, hold on a second. Let me refocus. I want to listen in. I have ears. I got a professional sound system in here, but it ain't turned on. Let me turn this on. Let me engage. Let me lean in. Let me become a detective and ask questions. I want to understand what you're feeling, why you're feeling it, what you're thinking, why you're thinking it before I react to it. There's plenty of things to get angry about in relationships. We're often angry at our misperceptions and our mishearing and our assumptions before we get to the real issue. What if our goal was understanding before we make a stand on our position? How can we be better listeners? And that begins by listening in and being honest about how you're not listening well. I had a guy, very kind of high-end job, very, very busy, and one day it really struck him that he wasn't listening well because his son comes in. He's like, "Dad, can I talk to you about something?" "Sure, I got a meeting in about 5 minutes. Can you talk fast?" His son says, "No, I think I'll wait till later when you can listen slower." Oh, and again, there's times you have to wait till later, but he realized he'd spent the last 5 years of his son's life as a teenager saying, "Talk fast, I only got a minute." That he needed to find times to listen slow, to engage, to rejoice with his son's rejoicing, to sometimes mourn with his daughter's mourning, but to really match the emotion of the family around him. How well are you doing listening into God? How well are you listening in to the people around you care about? What does it look like to ask the God who made you to help you in that area? You see, what we're going to find today is that the ears work best in two ways, when they're tuned in and turned on to the brains of the operation. Now, when you got to turn it on? And it would be nice to say there's a switch. I can blame the switch being off, but the issue is it's actually a spiritual decision to tune in and to turn on. And the brain is designed to tune in and turn on best when it's tuned in and turned on to the brains of the operation. When I recognize there is a God, he has not only wisdom for the biology of how it's created, he's also got wisdom on how I use the tools of his body. Some person once said that God gave you one mouth and two ears because you're supposed to be listening twice as much as you speak. Ooh. For us talkers, that's hard to hear. But what if the very nature of how you're created is that you're designed to tune in to the brains of the operation? What if God is the brains of the operation? He designed you and created you. And like every part of your body, the eye, the ear, the heart, it doesn't work unless it's connected to the brains of the operation. I invite the band to come out and do this next song, and you often think about when you're losing your hearing, you know, someone who's lost their hearing. That's what we say, right? You've lost your hearing. Sometimes, even though we physically can hear, we've lost our ability to have compassion for our spouse. We've lost the ability to really see another person's perspective. Or maybe we never had it. We never grew up learning it. What's amazing about the Bible is it's continually a group of people who lost the ability to listen to God, lost the ability to do what he said, lost the ability to apply what he said. And you think God would be like, that's it, cut out the eye, that's it, done with them. But instead, God chases them and chases them and chases them. Even though you haven't tuned into me, even though you haven't turned on your ears toward me, I want you to know, though you are lost, and though you have lost your hearing for a time, I am still chasing after you. And I want you who are lost to find me. Seek me. And find my wisdom can make your life even better. What if that was God's song to us? Hey, you've lost track of my wisdom. You've lost track of these two holes I put in your head for listening to the people around you. And what if God said, but you can find me and find my wisdom and you can incorporate in your life? Even when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he says, I'm God, and I want you to hear God's love. So while nails being pounded into his hands, he said out loud for us to hear, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. He wants us to hear and see the love of God, not just have a theory about it. Maybe you want to respond to God and think about the ways in which maybe your ears haven't been working the way they were designed. They haven't been tuned in. They haven't been turned on. Let's pray together. Maybe you want to just put that into your words. Say something like, God, help me to use my ears better. I want to listen in to ways you want to guide me. Forgive me for ignoring the important people and the important things in my life too often. But I hear you saying I'm forgiven. And I invite that forgiveness in my life. I hear you telling me to be swift to hear. I need your help. I'm open to your guidance in my life. Help me to use these ears the way you designed them. In Jesus' name, amen.